Welcome to the Full Potential Podcast. I am your host, Nick Wagner Sr., and every week I interview guests that share career stories, ideas, and experiences to empower and inspire people to reach their full potential. If you enjoy the episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. Thanks for listening. And I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a lively conversation tonight with Elizabeth West, who you will all learn about over the next roughly 30 to 40 minutes. So Elizabeth, every Sunday, I try to sit down with an awesome guest like yourself to share their career journey. And my hope is that my audience gets to hear about some amazing things that you've done throughout your career that might inspire them to figure out what they can do in their career. So we're going to talk about what you do professionally today. I want to talk about some of the volunteer work you do, because I know that's a big part of who you are as well. And I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
So why don't we, I like to start with this question, Elizabeth, because I think it's important. And I know as we were preparing for the conversation tonight, you shared some fun facts about yourself as part of your bio. But I always start with, you know, who is Elizabeth West? So if you were out at a networking event or at a conference and someone met you for the first time and they're like, so who's Elizabeth? How would you answer that?
I would say that I'm a connector. I'm a liaison. I like to bring smiles. I like to bring joy. I like to spread love. I think that's who I am.
I really enjoy that. And I ask it the way I ask it. I don't ask you what you do because I don't necessarily want you to equate who you are with what you do. So I appreciate how you answered that question. And I like the bring smiles, because I'm all about that as well. So I do want to talk about your career journey though, and where you've been and where you are today and how you got there. And usually I like to start at the beginning. So, because I think for a lot of individuals, most people's career paths, as we talked about, they don't really know where they're gonna end up, how they're gonna get there. They're not in a straight line, right? Like, they're usually up and down and all over the place. So why don't we first start with, if you want to just give like a quick, you know, 1 or 2 minute description of like, what do you do today in your current job? And then we'll talk about how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm in information security. I work for Cigna. Again, I think in every role, honestly, all of us are liaisons. So I'm a liaison between our infrastructure team and our information protection group. And how I got there, very non-linear path. I've worked in multiple different areas of a company, from accounting and finance to operations to implementations to information security.
So when you were like, we'll go back, when you were 7 year old Elizabeth, was your dream to work in information security at a health services company?
No, absolutely. Okay. Not.
So what did you want to do? And I just love to hear this, right? I love to hear, because I wanted to be an architect when I was growing up, because I loved Lego. So I thought I was going to be an architect. What did you want to do when you were growing up? What was the dream?
Well, I think back to my sister and I and what we would do for like playtime. And so I remember two things. I remember one, we would have, you know, back in the day when you'd have those rotary phones where you spin the dial. We had one of those that wasn't connected, and we had like a little store. So we would sell things to each other. And every now and then we'd have like real money. We would dump my mom's purse onto the bed and she'd have a ton of coins and dollar bills. But I loved money. I used to like challenge my sister, you know, to make me tell the difference between how a $5 bill smelled from a $20 bill. Like, that's how obsessed I was. And I would like hoard my mom's coins in like a place in my room. And she finally told me, Elizabeth, you got to knock that off. It's ridiculous. So, I don't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I loved money. Yeah. Yeah. So I went to I thought finance when I was in college, you know, like money, finance kind of makes sense.
So and I want to ask that question because I think for a lot of individuals, how, you know, what happened with their parents in school dictates how their journey was with school. You mentioned college. Was the expectation that you were going to college, or was that a choice that you got to make?
No, I think it was always there. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, you have to do this, but it was, you know, we believe that you can and you should, and this is why.
Yeah. And And I, you know, it's I think it's changed quite a bit. I think as more and more companies are actually saying you don't need a degree to
Yeah.
work here. I think it's gonna be an interesting kind of shift with the higher education. But so you went to school, you went for finance, you mentioned.
Yep.
What was like? How did you pick finance? And do you think that was the right? You're not using finance necessarily now, so.
No,
What
yeah.
was why finance? Just because you always liked money? I mean, there's got to be what's the other reason?
Yeah, exactly. I think the personal finance aspect of it, I thought like maybe being an investment broker or maybe a financial advisor might, because I kind of taught myself how to manage finances and get out of debt and all that jazz. So I was pretty passionate about it. And 2 years after you're done with your common core classes, you kind of have to figure out where you're going. And I was like, well, something in business, finance seems to resonate.
No, I love that. And look, I think I've talked about this with a lot of different guests I've had. I think even if you aren't in finance, understanding finance is so critical to so many different jobs, right? Whether you work in the corporate world like you do, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in the nonprofit world, understanding finance is just so powerful. So I'm sure that's actually served you well, even though you haven't been in a core finance role.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Completely
So
agree.
you graduated from University of North Carolina at Greensboro with a finance degree. What was your first job out of school? Like what was that dream job you landed out of college?
Well, I took a year off because I was exhausted, after all of those years, you're like, I just want a break. And at the time, the job market, I mean, it's similar to recent grads. There just wasn't much. So I went back and got my MBA. For young folks that hadn't gotten any professional experience, I think if I was to go back, I would even though once you get a professional job, going back to school is such a commitment. So there's pros and cons to each. But my first job was a budget analyst at a company in Greensboro. So I leaned heavy. I like interned with the company, and I became friends with one of the budget analysts there. And she was moving, and she's like, "Hey, I think you'd be great at this." I'm like, "I don't really think so," but yeah, that's first
So
gig.
and it's it, you know I think you bring up a good point, but a couple of good points, right? So you ended up getting a job because of an internship, it sounds like, which I think is huge. And I always we you know I've talked about that with so many guests that internships are so critical to figuring out like what you want to do and finding a possible place to work. So it sounded like that worked out for you. So you actually got a job in finance, right? So you actually went to school for something and got a job in finance, which a lot of times doesn't happen with individuals. What did you think of it?
No.
Like, did you like working in finance?
No, it was so boring. So boring. It was the same thing every month. And towards the end of it, I got into like the forensic side of finance, which is I really enjoyed. But by then I was moving. So I was with that company for a year and I was like, no, this is not for me at all. It's just I need change, I need challenge, I need something to, spark my interest. And just knowing that I have to do the same thing pretty much every month was just
So
boring.
let's actually, I want to dive into that because I want to hear how you handled that situation because I think there's a lot of people out there that can resonate with what you just said. So they went to school for 4 years or 5 years or 6 years. They got a degree, they got a master's degree, they get the job in the field that they went to school for, and they're bored.
Yeah, yep,
Which
yeah.
I think is a really kind of a terrifying feeling for a lot of people because you're like, oh my gosh, I just invested all these years and all this money and getting this degree. And I don't like what I'm doing.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
what did you do? Like, how did you solve that?
Yeah. I think because I never like I was passionate about it, but I never really was like, oh my gosh, it resonates with my soul. So I don't think I was that attached to that vision and dream where I wasn't okay letting it go and moving into something different. But even if you're okay with that, all right, well, so if not that, then what is really overwhelming and intimidating. And I think the part where it kind of worked out for me and I kind of got lucky, I moved to Savannah, Georgia, and I was looking for jobs for a month and a half, and it's a really tough job market down here. There's a lot of service industry, there's a lot of tourism, but for corporate America, there wasn't really much. And so I posted on a LinkedIn group and I was like, hey, I'm new to the area, really want to hear about opportunities here. And the son of an owner of a company in Bluffton posted, hey, you should check this company out. And had he not done that, there's no way I would have ever found this company, I don't think. And I didn't even know the position I was really interviewing for, honestly. But because of that human that made a post, was so well connected in the company, obviously, he got me in touch with HR, and it was easy breezy. I mean, obviously, like, you know, I interviewed well, and I was passionate and excited, and the company was at a place where they needed to bring in some young analysts, you know, fresh out of college, and it just worked out. And so that's when I got into operations.
No, you bring up another good point about, you know, the power of networking and you know, using LinkedIn. You know, I love LinkedIn, and yes. I think to your point, right, it's a great way to figure out. You're new to an area, you don't know necessarily where to go and what opportunities are there, and just reaching out to that group helped. So I love that story. So when you joined, when you took this job, right, as a, you mentioned as an analyst in operations, mm-hmm. what it wasn't a finance job. So how did that feel for you? And were you happy about that? Were you conflicted? Like what was the thought process? Cause that's obviously like, that's a change, right? I mean, you went to school for finance and now you're leaving the finance world.
Right. So because I had my MBA, and the MBA did help me open my mind to all of the aspects of business, right? There was no real focus, for my MBA program. But at that point, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to move down to Savannah and I'm going to take a break and it's going to be fun and relaxing and easy. I was so stressed out not having a job, and I didn't feel comfortable doing anything or spending any money because I was like, I didn't have much saved up. So I was just grateful to have a job, honestly. And it's funny, I'm living in a community that I interviewed with that pretty much at the same time as the other job that I ended up taking. And this community, it was for a budget analyst position, and they offered me the same pay that I was making at my last place in Greensboro. And the other company, the role that I ended up taking, offered me like $10,000 more, which at the time, right, that's significant. And I was like, peace, I'm out. Headed to CareCorp National. You guys got me. So I was just excited to meet new people and have a job. And I love contributing, and I just dove right in. I did not even think about the deviation from finance. I was just so jazzed to have a job and make money.
Now, so what year was that you took that job?
Oh my goodness. That was 2011.
So you've been with the company now for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I got eight years with that company, all said and done. I mean, yes.
10 yeah. years. So I want to talk about this because you started the job there. You were still early in your career. 10 years later, you're still at the company. And for those listening, so Evacor Health, where you worked was purchased by Cigna, which is how you ended up working at Cigna and how we know each mm-hmm. other. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear, because this is a common thing we get asked, Elizabeth, and you've had a successful experience taking different types of roles. Mm-hmm. What was it like to change roles, right? Like, how did you find your next opportunity? So I think that's a common question I get asked, and I always ask my guests, was it you applied for it? Was it someone asked you to take the job? Like, share some of those experiences of how you found your next role.
Yeah. And I honestly hope that's in your book, because that's something that I think is so important to learn. And that's not something that I've had my like ears perked up for, because it is a unique skill set. So I did actually leave Evacor for a little over a year. So how I moved around Evacor before I left and came back, it was just, Within Evacor before I left, it was just necessity. We were ramping up so quickly. We didn't have an implementation team. I was on the radiology program, which was the fastest growing program. And so as a result, I was just naturally doing implementations already. And so they were like, hey, we actually need to stand up a team. They were like, we think Elizabeth can do it. She just did this massive implementation. So they were like, hey, you're senior manager implementation team, brand new. Here are four analysts. Go. There was like no roadmap, no documentation, no workflows. It was just figure it out, which
had you ever managed people before at that point or no?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
So you get a brand new project, brand new team. They give you four people. You've never managed a team before.
Never managed a team. But so granted, they weren't just willy-nilly throwing these things out, right? Like I worked so hard and I was close to leadership. I knew what I was doing and I knew I was doing it well. And that the last major implementation before they created that team, you know, I was able to showcase like, hey, and that was not my intent. I was just doing a good job because I'm passionate about doing that. But they hired such amazing analysts. I got so, so lucky and I'm still in touch with them today. They're amazing humans, so talented, so incredibly talented.
How was your first management job?
It was hard, because you go from being an individual contributor and only needing to worry about yourself. Which I, right. Yeah. And I'm so hard on myself. I still am. But I'm not as hard on others, but the deviation from, all right, well, I know what we need to produce collectively. Figuring out, all right, well, who's good at what? How do you split all of that up and divide and conquer? And then the communication, like how do you stay in contact with them without, you know, hovering over them and being a helicopter manager? It was a lot, but we had so much work and I think we all respected each other and I still feel this way today. I mean, if you're side by side with your team, no matter if you're at work or at home life, right? Like you earn respect. I call it street cred. You earn your street cred. You earn your, I don't know. People know that you'll get your hands dirty and that you're there to support. You're not there to just divvy out work and then sit back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think to your point, it's, I think a lot of people do get put into management positions because they're good at their job and some people thrive and others don't. I mean, I think it's not everyone loves being in management. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that and you liked the experience. So I want to talk about, so you're doing implementations. You mentioned that you left for a little over a year and came back. When you came back, you were still doing operations.
Right.
How did you make the shift that like this really, I think what I would consider a pretty large shift from operations to information security? And I have a ton of questions about information security because I think a lot of people are really interested in that topic. But how did you make the shift from operations to security?
Yes. And I'm so grateful for this human as well, right? Because you don't know what you don't know. So I got a mentor, a female mentor, the Evercore at that time. It was mostly men, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I wanted a woman's perspective on how I could, you know, be aware of my appearance, help with my resume, help with my language and my presentation skills, et cetera. So she ended up leaving and she told me she was already in information security. She's like, hey, I honestly know what you do now. Those skills are transferable to security. And here's why I enjoy being in security, because there are not a lot of women. It's always changing, always new challenges. And so that's how I was able to make that jump. Again, person you know and that trusts you, right? I didn't go to her originally for a job. That was not it at all. We had known each other for a year up to that point. And then she got another opportunity and she took me along.
So I want to hear about the for you, the power of mentorship. And I'd love for you to just expand a little bit about what you just said, because you said you wanted a woman's perspective as a woman in the corporate America. You wanted to hear from another woman. Do you think having a woman mentor really made a difference in how you know, the questions you asked and the conversations you had?
I think so. I think it allowed me to put a different lens on when I approached conversations and meetings. And I mean, it is, it's very different. It's very different for a woman, at least for me, the way I dress, the way I do my hair, the way I do my makeup, how I talk. And, you know, I feel like my voice sounds like a 15-year-old. So I feel that I look like a 15-year-old. Who knows if that's how I'm perceived, but that's what's in my brain. So I'm constantly trying to, I don't know. I think I distract from that, honestly, with humor and giggles. And that's where I insert levity to, like, keep people's, you know, hey, look over here, look over here. Don't think about, like, maybe I'm not experienced and I can't do all the things that I'm doing.
I think a lot of, you know, again, a lot of early career professionals listen to this podcast. I think a lot of early career individuals feel the way that you just said, whether they're a man or a woman, to be honest with you. I think a lot of them feel they don't know how to act or how to dress, or are they being taken seriously because they're new to the job or the career or the industry. So I think your advice of getting a mentor is huge. In your specific case, it ended up with a job, right? And I know that wasn't your intent, but you ended up getting a job because of this mentor. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you sharing that, but what you're now in information security, which you mentioned is technology in general is a
yes,
skews more male than female. Information security, yeah, I would say probably even more.
Yeah.
What has it been like? Because it's almost a year and a half, right? Or a year that you've been in that role. How has it been? Like, what do you like? What don't you like?
Yeah. So it was my first time at a larger company. There was so much going on leadership. There were so many leadership changes. There was a lot of moving parts outside of the team that the team that I was working with was all brand new. So, I mean, it was cool. I've met some really talented people. I learned a lot about information security. I was in identity and access management, that thread. So started studying up on that. But I did feel like, you know, I came from a very small kind of startup field company, and everybody was busting their butt every day. We're all working long hours. We're all passionate and excited. And, you know, there's this, you know, zest and energy in the air. And then I go to this larger company and it's like flatline. And then, like, I'll meet like one person out of 50 that's like passionate and has some excitement and is alive. So that kind of like a damper on it for me. And every culture is different, right? Like, Cigna is a huge company, but I love the culture. There's so many talented people. So, like, everyone is passionate. Everyone that I engage with is happy. And it comes through.
No, I mean, I think it, to your point, right? And I think this is a great learning for people that there's even subcultures within companies. So you could have, there's an overall culture for a company, and then this department has a culture and that department has a culture. So I think you bring up a great point. I want to ask this because I think it's so critical. This topic of security. So it's, you know, you literally hear about it all the time, Elizabeth, right? So there was you just heard about, there was a pipeline that was hacked, right, by some hackers, and it caused a big, big mess where people couldn't get gas, right? So literally security is everything that we do. It touches every part of our lives. What is it about it for you that you like so much and like kind of gets you excited? Like, what's the passion piece for you with security?
Yeah, no. I think the fact that you never know what tomorrow is going to bring, hackers, the bad people, as we say, they're going to continue to grow in numbers, get smarter, get more savvy. So for me, like I said, my first job, right, same thing every day, really bored me. You know, my brain was, I'm drooling on itself. So, you know, in information security, you never know what's going to happen. It's always going to be evolving. I love learning. I'm naturally curious. So that kind of feeds that part of me, but, also like representing women in the field, but also, I feel that in tech, at least for most of the companies I've been in, it's kind of a dry environment. Mr. Wheeler is probably a deviation from that, persona, I would say. But I like to shake things up. I love bringing my humor. Who I am at work is who I am at home. And I just feel like tech has just, and I don't think it's Cigna, but I think tech can get very stale. And so I like inserting life and joy and giggles in that space.
I mean, you're being who you are, right? I mean, in representing your own personal brand. So I want to ask a follow-up. So like overall career, I want to hear about one of the things that you're the most proud of throughout your career that you want to share. And then maybe something that didn't go quite so well that was, we'll say it was an opportunity to be better.
Yeah. Man, I would say something I'm proud of is just all of the relationships built. I genuinely enjoy connecting people and connecting with people and building something and problem solving. So I just think that's pretty cool. And I feel that I do a good job at building rapport and building trust. I had someone reach out to me the other day. I think it was one of my first implementations at Evercore. And he was like, you know, he commented on the podcast. He's like, so proud of you. You know, you're just crushing it. Like, continue being you and da 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 da. But I don't know. I just think it's so cool thinking of like all the random projects and all the people that you cross paths with, and you never know. Or are you going to cross paths with them again? And what are they going to bring your way? What can you bring their way? But something that I don't think went well that I wish would be different. And I think about it today, and it's going to be kind of generic, but whenever I would like lose my temper, I would lose my cool. I would be very sharp and aggressive. If someone wasn't, following my lead or being agreeable or just being difficult or just straight up being rude and nasty, not being able to breathe through it and keep it classy is something that, like, obviously, it's not my brand. So
I get that. Yeah, no, I get that. So we talked a lot about your career, and I think I would be doing the audience a disservice if we didn't talk about some of the volunteer work you do as well, because I know that, yes, you have a great job, you've had a great career, you do some amazing things there, but you also have a lot of volunteer work you've done outside of your full-time job. So I'd love it if you could share with my audience a little bit about, you know, why you volunteer and some of the things that you've done that have brought such joy to you.
Yeah, I would like to caveat, I literally never volunteered up until probably 2 years ago, a year and a half. I worked so hard. I hustled, brother, in my early career, and I did not have that balance, right? Like, I looked to my career and my partner for everything to feed me. And that is not, I don't think that's a successful formula. So when I got a little bit more stable career-wise and felt more confident in where I am and who I am, that's when I was like, hey, I want to give back. Others have given to me. So CASA is one organization that I'm very passionate about. It's court-appointed special advocate. And so there's so many children in foster care, and there's just so much turnover in the humans that support the foster child, whether it's their caseworker, whether it's their foster home, et cetera. The CASA advocate is the one constant in that child's life. And so I'm just very passionate. I had some bad humans in my life when I was a child, and it kind of heals that part of me. And also, I mean, who doesn't like helping a child, right? So I have a lovely girl, DeLacy. She's amazing. I'm so incredibly proud of her. I love every time I get to spend time and talk with her. It just fills my heart. And then we also, at the start of the pandemic, we started fostering puppies. Who doesn't love a puppy? But euthanization rates are very high down here. There's you know, we have a problem getting animals fixed. So there's constantly like new litters coming in. So yeah, those are the main, I love picking up trash outside. I mean, any other, the community we just moved in, we can like drive the elderly to like doctor's appointments. My fiance and I have signed up for that, but we're always trying to like, you know, get connected to the community. We could always do more, but being a CASA advocate and helping out those little puppers definitely makes me happy.
No, I love that. And I think I appreciate you being so honest about how, you know, how hard you drove your career at the beginning, how it might not have been the best decision, right? Because I think a lot of people don't want to admit that. But I think, you know, I think your honesty is refreshing. And I think a lot of people that listen will hopefully hear, like, you don't have to, like, yes, you've been successful, but could you have been successful and not maybe worked that many hours, right? Or taken on that much responsibility. So I appreciate you sharing that and being honest. So I always close with the same question, Elizabeth, which is, you know, what is the one thing that's helped you reach your full potential with your career? So you've had a lot of different roles, from finance to operations to now security. What's the one thing that's helped you be successful throughout all these positions?
I'm also going to bring some more honesty. You could say a lot, right? But if I want to boil it down to one thing, I really genuinely, everyone has baggage, trauma from your childhood, from your past, from your parents, from it, you know, you name it. We've all got some. That is going to show up not only in your career, in your personal life. Dealing with that, sorting through that, therapy, it's so important. It's so important. You're just going to continue to play out those stories over and over again until you figure out and get to the root and you heal yourself. I think that that has gotten me where I am. It's helped me become more confident. It's helped me identify what my values are. It's helped me draw boundaries where, you know, I know I'm not going to work crazy hours anymore. And if that is the expectation, that's not in alignment with where I'm going and what I need. So yeah, I would say taking care of your mental health, your emotional health, is so important sooner rather than later.
I so appreciate you sharing that as someone who's trying to remove the stigma of mental health myself by sharing that I have, you know, I have anxiety, I'm diagnosed, I see a therapist. I'm not shy about it like you, right? I think it's important that people like us share that. So I really appreciate you being so honest with that. And because I think, you know, and I'll be honest myself, I started seeing a therapist 3 years ago. That was the first time I ever saw a therapist because I always thought to myself that I didn't need one. I didn't, you know, my problems weren't enough, right? Like I never had anything really bad happening in my life. Like I don't need this, right? I'll fix it myself. So I really appreciate you sharing that because I think that's great advice. And I think for a lot of people that have never been to a therapist, it can really be a life-changing experience.
Absolutely. And don't give up. It takes a minute to find the right therapist.
Yes, it does. Yes. That's also good advice. You might not always hit it off with the first therapist that you meet. So no, yes. That's great advice. So I really appreciate you making time. I know obviously you're very busy with your family and work and your volunteering, but it was great to have you join me for the Full Potential podcast and share your career experiences and your volunteering and all your advice. So thank you. And I wish you the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. It was an honor.
And I'll make sure, just one last thing, Elizabeth, I'll make sure to link to your LinkedIn profile in the show description. So if anyone wants to reach out to you to hear more about your journey, or maybe they're looking for a possible mentor, they can give you a call.
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Full Potential Podcast. If you'd like to hear more interviews, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. You can also connect with us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to check out our website, fullpotentialmovement.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, and be well.